Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of The Narcissist Code. I'm your favorite self-aware narcissist, Mr. Lee Hammack, better known as Mental Healers, across all social media platforms. Over 2 million people right now, y'all. It's insane. This is the first time seeing my face or hearing my voice. I am a diagnosed narcissist, and I use my platform on social media to raise awareness for NPD, get more people into therapy like myself, 5 years strong, and also validate the victims and survivors and the thrivers of this personality disorder and of these traits. You know what I mean? Everybody's not a full-blooded narcissist. Some people just have a lot of traits. So today's episode is going to be about narcissistic rage and the implosion that comes along with it. So me as a diagnosed narcissist, y'all, rage is like narcissistic rage is common, but not all narcissists rage out on you, y'all. The more covert, passive-aggressive narcissistic people, they tend to give you the silent treatment and to just stonewall you and act like you don't exist. But the more active-aggressive narcissistic people rage out on you. They yell. They scream. They intimidate you. They get in your face. They punch holes in the wall. They throw stuff at you. They put their hands on you. They start raging out on Facebook and social media. They paint you as a bad person. They paint you as an evil person that makes them, that triggers them to react this way. You make me treat you this way. But the best way that I describe narcissistic rage is this right here, y'all. Narcissistic people, like, we are super self-destructive. We just are, y'all. In the pursuit of what we look at as happiness, we self-destruct ourselves all the time. We destroy everything around us because we implode on ourselves. Narcissistic rage is like an inner implosion, typically caused by some kind of outside catalyst or whatever, something from the outside world makes us implode inside, and we implode. It's like a nuclear bomb that goes off inside of us, and everything around us, the closer you are to us, you get caught in the fire, you get caught in the flame. The closer you are in proximity to that narcissistic person when they rage out, the worse you get treated, which is why the family members are typically the people who observe and are recipients of the narcissistic rage. Because the blast radius for rage is not going to be a huge, most times it's not going to be a huge blast radius. If I blow up in this shed right here, my family and who is in the house next to me might get caught in the blow and caught in the blast because they're close to me. That's why the people closest to the narcissistic person, you get a different version of the narcissist. Why does the narcissist, nobody else sees through this facade except for me. Y'all didn't start documenting stuff, y'all. I'm not telling you to pull your camera out. Every time they started yelling and screaming, do this right here, because that can make them madder. I'm telling you, just lay it on the ground. Hit the record button. Or get you a little spy or something. Get you a little recorder when they're raging out and saying crazy stuff and throwing stuff and hitting the wall and craziness. You know what I mean? Because narcissistic people, we feel the full spectrum of emotions. I just don't want to feel it. Because anger, honestly, sometimes raging out feels good. I know sometimes it might trigger some of y'all, but sometimes narcissistic people, when we rage out, we feel good. We feel so powerful in the moment. And I talked to my therapist about this. Like, I feel good sometimes when I'm raging out. When I'm yelling and screaming sometimes, I feel good. And she was like, mm-hmm. So when you're yelling and screaming, what are you saying when you're yelling and screaming? Like, the last time I raged out, I was saying stuff like, I was like, nobody in the house listens to me. Nobody appreciates the stuff I do. Y'all just do what you want to do. Nobody appreciates me. It's like, so you see, right there, you were feeling underappreciated, and you feel like nobody was listening to you. Instead of talking about it, you let it build up, and you explode it. But when you're yelling and screaming, guess what? People were listening to you, wasn't you? You felt heard, didn't you? Like, yeah, that's why you feel like, that's why you felt good, because you were getting your needs met. In that moment of rage, you were getting your needs met, that you could have got met before by having a tumultuous, maybe not a pleasant conversation. You could have got those needs met before, but you let it get to the point where you raged out. You let it get to the point where you raged out. Where you could have had a conversation before. You let it boil over and bubble up to the point where you had to rage out to get your needs met. It shouldn't be that way. A lot of narcissistic people are they're trying to get a need met, and they don't know how to communicate any other way. Because guess what? The other emotions make narcissists feel vulnerable. And vulnerability is weakness. Vulnerability to narcissistic people like myself, we look at vulnerability as weakness. So when we're raging out, we feel big and strong. You know what I mean? We like, you get it out your system. You getting your needs met. You getting the validation that you've been searching for. Because a lot of times, narcissistic people, when they're raging out, they're searching for some type of validation from you. They're looking for validation for their life, for their actions, for in that moment right there. And she's like, you're looking for validation. And sometimes, look, sometimes they're looking for the validation that they're looking for, they can't get from you anyway. The validation they're looking for, they want to be validated by the world, being rich and famous and successful, super successful, and things like that. You know what I mean? They're looking for that type of validation right there. You know? They're looking for that type of validation right there in that moment. They're not looking for the validation of you right then and there. They're looking for the validation of the world, only the world can give them. That's why I tell people consistently that no one person will be enough for a narcissist. They just won't. You know what I mean? But here comes the question. But Lee, you're married. Is your wife not enough for you? Your wife not enough for you, Lee? Yeah, my wife is enough for me because I'm better at validating myself now. I don't need validation from multiple women and things like that. Most narcissistic people cannot validate themselves. Inner validation is hard to come by. And I still, to this day, have trouble validating myself. I still sometimes feel like I'm not doing enough. I stay up late at night because I feel like I haven't accomplished enough in the day. I'm up to 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I wake up late the next day and start my next day off late because I couldn't go to sleep the day before. So it's a cycle, y'all. It's cyclical. You mean, and the only person that can put a stop to the cycle is me. The only person who can put a stop to that cycle in your narcissistic person's life is that narcissistic person. You can't do it. You don't have the ability to do that. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. They're just like, what's going on? But like, I want to help them. I want to save them. You can't. Because a lot of times you're the outlet. You become, like, the closer you are to a narcissist, you become the emotional punching bag for the narcissistic person. It's like the narcissist is throwing emotional punches. Like, you see my range right here? I got my arms held out. If y'all on my podcast, my arms are being are extended in front of me right here. This is my range of reach. This is my reach right now, right here, Al. This is my reach right here. I can only reach so far. But the closer you get, the more capable I am of reaching you. Not physically, but emotionally. Like, the closer you are to me, the more emotional reach I have. The more you are now in my emotional reach. So now you are in range to become the emotional punching bag. That's why people closer to a narcissist get treated the worst. They just do, because now you're in the emotional punching bag reach. Well, the other people in the world are not. People outside this reach don't feel it. They don't see it. They're not going to get the same version. You are. Behind closed doors, in the house, that's all in the house. That's emotional punching bag range right there. Marriage, kids, emotional punching bag range. Friends, sometimes you get emotional punching bag range. You know what I mean? Siblings, emotional punching bag range. So narcissistic people are going to take out their frustrations in life on everybody around them. Instead of working through our issues, we take it out on other people. It's easier. You know what I mean? And when I know another question I get about narcissistic rage is, my narcissistic partner say them, they get mad and do and say evil stuff to me that they don't remember. So y'all, if they don't remember what they, could that be true? Yeah, that could absolutely be true. But here's the point of that right here. If they can't remember what they say to you, that means they won't remember what they do to you. That means if they beat your ass and down there try to unalive you and send you to meet God, they won't remember that either. So you're willing to tolerate that. That's not a flex to not remember the bad things you say and do to somebody. It's not a flex, and it's not you to make them feel, this black eye I got, you don't remember it? No, I don't remember that one. Are you going to tolerate that because they don't remember it and they're not willing to go get help for it? Will you go to therapy or go to anger management or something? No, I'm good. I go to sleep. I didn't like the end of the Ozark, and maybe I hit you because of that. Something like that. You know what I mean? Some stupid-ass reason. And sometimes narcissistic people, I was reading Dr. Romney's book, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And it said, she said narcissistic personality disorder and borderline, you can be narcissistic and borderline narcissistic and bipolar as well. So be manic and go into a narcissistic rage at the same time, you might have a narcissistic blackout where you do some crazy ass stuff to somebody. And if you don't remember it, guess what? This is how narcissists look at it. If I don't remember it, I'm not responsible. Yes, the hell we are. But what you allow is what will continue. So if you're dealing with a narcissistic person, what you allow in this relationship is what will continue. Believe, I don't allow them to hit me, but you allow them to continue if you stay with them. You see what I'm saying? If you don't call the police, you allow them to continue. And this is not me victim blaming. This is me trying to show that there's some, you have to take some kind of responsibility while you're in this relationship. You have, because if you keep blaming them is easy. You have to look inward sometimes. It's like, why am I still here? Like, this is terrible. Why am I still here? You can't blame them for why you're still there, because they're going to talk and they're going to do whatever they're going to talk and do and say whatever it takes to keep you there. But why are you staying there? It's a whole different scenario, a whole different question, a whole different, you know, it's a whole different line of question, a whole different, probably some tough answers, some tough responses that you're going to have with yourself. But again, it's worth, in the end, it's worth it. It just absolutely is, y'all. It's worth it in the end. I promise you. So you have to take back your power, empower yourself by any means necessary in these circumstances. So in conclusion, live in-person meetup, July 23rd in Durham, North Carolina. Meet and greet, the last one at Virginia Beach with Ben Taylor, Raw Motivations went well. This one will be in Durham, North Carolina, July 23rd at the Lakeside, Honeysuckle at Lakewood Restaurant in Durham, North Carolina from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. It might go a little bit over, but it's fine. They say they don't have anybody else there. So come through, say hi, meet me in person. I don't bite. I'm a human being. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be, you know, drinking, whatever. We're going to have fun. We're going to meet and greet. It's a meet and greet. Come say hey. Me, Ben Taylor, Raw Motivations, Durham, North Carolina. Durham, right next to Raleigh. Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. July 23rd, 3 p.m. See you there. Thank you for tuning in again. Mental Illness is out. Peace. Like and subscribe.